Skipper said, chasing the loose wire back to the outlet. Now that the light was out, Belle could see him properly for the first time. She couldn't say she'd noticed him before, when Ramsay had introduced the crew, too dazzled by the lights and the camera. He must have been the youngest of the four documentary crew members. Couldn't be much older than her. And he was, just maybe, the most ridiculous person Belle had ever seen. He had shoulder-length brown hair that fell in thick curls, pushed off to one side of his pale face, full of angles and shadows. He wore flared tartan pants and a bright purple sweater with little green and yellow dinosaurs marching across his chest.
"Sorry," he said again,
the O giving him away. "Must be from London, too." He grunted as he pushed the plug in and the light sparked back to life, hiding him from Belle.
Thank God. That ugly sweater was distracting.
"I told you to gaffer all the wires down, Ash," Ramsay said,
shifting to glance behind the box light.
"I did,"
came Ash's voice from behind the light, somehow angular, just like his face,
until the tape ran out.
"Mate, we have like 50,000 rolls upstairs,"
Ramsay replied.
50,001. Said the woman standing behind the microphone.
A long pole balanced on a tripod, with a fluffy gray head hovering over Belle and Ramsay, just above the shot. Saba, that was what Ramsay had called her, introducing her as the sound person. She was wearing a huge pair of headphones that dwarfed her face, pushing the brown skin of her cheeks into unnatural folds.
"Sorry," came Ash's voice. "I'll fix it later."
"It's okay,"
Ramsay said, his face softening for a second. Then, to the man behind the huge camera,
"James, why are you panning to Ash?"
"Thought we were aiming for a cinema verite style for the doc, that you might want this in,"
the camera operator replied.
"No, I don't want this in. Let's reset the shot and go for another take. And everyone, watch where you're stepping this time."
Ramsay flashed an apologetic smile at Belle, sitting here on a plush couch across from them all, the cushions artfully arranged and rearranged behind her.
"Ash is my brother-in-law," he said,
as though in explanation.
"Known him since he was 11. It's his first job, isn't it, Ash? Camera assistant."
Ash, camera assistant. Saba, sound person. James, camera operator, and Ramsay, filmmaker, producer, director. Must have been nice to have words like that follow your name, words you'd chosen. Bells were different. "This is Annabelle, the daughter of Rachel Price," that last part said in a knowing whisper. Because even though Rachel was gone, everything existed only in relation to her. Gorham wasn't its own place anymore. It was the town where Rachel Price had lived. Number 33 Milton Street wasn't Belle's home. It was the house Rachel Price had lived in. Belle's dad, Charlie Price, well, he was Rachel Price's husband, even though the Price part had come from him.
"Ash, the clapper,"
Ramsay reminded him.
"Oh."
Ash emerged from behind the light, a black and white clapperboard clasped between his hands. Printed on it were the words, "The Disappearance of Rachel Price," the name of the documentary. Below that, a handwritten, "Interview with Belle." And she was surprised, really, that it didn't just say, "Rachel Price's daughter." Ash walked in front of the camera, the hems of his pants swishing loudly together.
"Take six,"
he said, bringing the clapper stick down to the slate with a sharp bang, hurrying out of the shot.
"Let's start again."
Ramsay let out a long breath. They'd been here for hours already, and it was starting to show on his face.
"Your mom has now been missing for more than 16 years. In all that time, there has been no sign of her. No activity on her bank accounts. No communication with family. No body found despite extensive searches. Of course, there have been sightings," he said,
leaning on the word too hard. So it